down a wrong route and we run the risk of responding in an emotionally inappropriate way. I'll give you an example. This happened to me recently when I got irritated about something. The situation was that I had received no reply to an email that I'd sent to one of my friends. Days went by. It was almost going into weeks. I think weeks had gone by, and I hadn't heard from her. When my initial thought of, she's probably busy, began to change to, maybe she doesn't appreciate my friendship, I knew I was heading down the route of faulty thinking. So I said, stop. Just stop that line of reasoning. I had to remind myself that my friend is a very, very busy person who has lots of responsibilities, and that takes up her time. And the fact that she hadn't got round to replying to me was no reflection whatsoever on the quality of our friendship. Now, when I took this more accurate perspective, the irritable feelings went away. And this episode reminded me of how easy it is to go down the route of faulty thinking. So easy. And there are times when our faulty thinking leads us to actually believe lies. And this is particularly serious when it's a matter of God's word. Now, if his word is true, and I reckon that most of you here this morning would say it is, if his word is true, then anything that contradicts that word, surely, must be a lie. And sometimes these lies are in the form of thoughts that flit across our mind. And if we don't immediately reject them and replace them with the truth of God's word, then these lies become embedded in our way of thinking and distort our views of God, of ourselves, and of our circumstances. I wonder if you recognize any of the following lies. Here's one. God doesn't care about me. If he did, I wouldn't be having such a tough time. That's a lie. So what then is the truth that we need to find in order to replace the lie? One verse that you can take, other verses, but here's one from 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your care on him because he cares about you. The verse doesn't deny that we will have cares and things that trouble us and bother us and churn us up. But it says, take these things and throw them onto God because he cares about you. So there's the truth to replace the lie that God doesn't care about me. Here's another one. Here's the lie. I'll never be free from my past. Even though I have asked God to forgive me, and I'm not living like that anymore. That's the lie that we buy into sometimes. The truth, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. Replace the lie with the truth of God's word. And here's a final one. Here's another lie. It's a hopeless situation. Nothing good can possibly come from this. What's the truth? We know that that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Those who are called according to his purpose. Maybe it's his purpose that you're experiencing this particular thing for whatever reason. Romans 8:28. And there are lots more lies that many of us are buying into. And they're messing with our enjoyment of God, and they're distorting a right view of ourselves and the world around us. But what can we do about it? Well, Jesus says this. If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:31-32. To counteract lies, we need to apply the truth. But we can't apply the truth unless we know what that truth is. And according to Jesus, we will know the truth if we continue in his word by knowing it, believing it, and obeying it. It is the truth of God's word that will set us free from everything that holds us back, including the lies that stifle our experience of living life to the full. So, think about your thinking. How might we do that? Here are some suggestions. Ask whether or not a thought is true. A lot of our stress in life comes from thinking things that aren't true. We find ourselves listening to and perhaps believing unconfirmed gossip, or we hold on to thoughts of false guilt, or we speculate about the future. We're not believing things that we know to be true. So ask whether or not a thought is true. Secondly, acknowledge that our thoughts and attitudes need to be renewed. Let's not fool ourselves by holding on to those layers of faulty thinking that need to be peeled away to get to the truth. And thirdly, allow God to transform us by changing what we think about. This involves the continual reprogramming of our minds to bring our thoughts back into line with the truth of God's word. It's not a one-off thing. It's a continual reprogramming as we live each day. Let's not allow faulty thinking to stifle our experience of living life to the full. So that's the first thing, faulty thinking. Secondly, unconfessed sin can stifle our experience of living life to the full. God defines sin as anything that falls below his standard or cuts across his rules for living. Notice, God defines sin. Human beings have no authority to define sin and say what is sin and say what's not sin. God defines sin. So from a Christian perspective, this includes thinking, saying, or doing anything that the Bible says we shouldn't. But it also includes not thinking, saying, or doing what the Bible says we should. You got that? What old theologians used to call sins of commission and sins of omission. Things that you do that aren't right, things that you don't do that you should be doing. All of us are sinful people. All of us. No one lives a perfect life. Only Jesus lived a perfect life.